for Christmas quickly became a top hit when first released in 1943. That same year, as Christmas approached, the naval chaplain on the battleship North Carolina sensed that his crew was struggling with homesickness. That would have been normal for anyone in a battle zone and still overseas during the holiday season. The chaplain had an idea. He went and collected $5 from every crew member on ship that had children back home. And then he sent the money along with the contact information of each sailor with family to the Macy's department store, requesting that Macy's would take the money, buy gifts, and send them to the families back home in time for Christmas. The men on ship gathered for their annual Christmas show. There was singing, some entertainment, and then the chaplain, in a sense, took center stage. And he announced the Macy's surprise. In fact, he announced two Macy's surprises. One involving a gift given, another one involving a gift about to be received. Macy's not only had followed through on the chaplain's request, but they had expanded it. They reached out to the families back home, invited them to come to the department store and send a greeting to their loved one who could not be home for Christmas. As surprise number two was unwrapped by unsuspecting sailors, the men aboard the battleship North Carolina sat there and saw their wives, their children, their loved ones appear before them on screen with the latest technology of that day. Macy's had videotaped each of their families sending their loved one who could not be home for Christmas a Christmas message. And these rugged sailors watched, wept, and rejoiced over a gift given and now a gift received. They could not be home for Christmas, but Christmas had come home to them. We may not be home today with family, with the home that we were intending to be at. We may not be home today, but we are never without comfort and joy when Jesus connected. A gift given, a gift received. Christmas has come home to you if you will listen and hear the gift. Christmas is not primarily a place nor presence, but Christmas primarily is the peace promise of heaven itself. We step into Luke chapter 2. It's a different time, it's a different place, but the similarities are almost eerily close to our lives today. In that day, a decree goes out from the government. A census will be taken. The reality of not being home for Christmas is not unique to 2020. Consider the year almost zero. We quibble about it from a historical standpoint of where and when and how we date things, but let's go with almost zero. The time where heaven gave the world and gave you a gift that still is making its mark in our lives today. But in that year, there are several groups that are not home. There is the tax to the max clients of the Roman Empire, the Roman occupation. Now, using the word tax, we do look at that first verse, and we note that the big hubbub involved a census, similar to what has been going on this year in our country. The edict from the political establishment is to take a census. So the people there are not going, in a sense, to be taxed, but it is in view of a tax. Census back then were taken to stoke the ego of the emperor. Look how big my kingdom is. And connected to that ego stoking was to set up the parameters, the foundation, the infrastructure for military drafts and more taxes. It's a lot easier to tax people. It's a lot easier to draft people when you have them on a list. And so that is what is going on. But for all these people, in a sense, they are just ones and zeros. They're just figures, numbers to the emperor. And they are compelled to go to the birth, to the original birthplaces of their family. Many of them are called away from their home to go to another place. There's another group of people that are not home that first Christmas. There are a couple of first-time-to-be parents named Joseph and Mary, called away from comfortable, whatever comfortable was for them at the moment, to travel. There was also another person that was not home for Christmas, and that really is the focal point, the focal person of Christmas. That's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Have you ever thought about that? He wasn't home. The prince is not in the palace of heaven. Then there's one other group that somewhat connects them all today and will be the focus of some of our study. We'll call them the sleepless sheepers. Shepherds is too easy to say. Sleepless sheepers of the night. The shepherds out there on the Bethlehem hillside watching the sheep. They're not home in their warm, comfortable beds with their families on that first Christmas night. On Christmas number one, God brought comfort and joy to a number of people, and he will do that in your life as well. There is a gift given that calls for a gift to be received. And we may not be home today, but we are never without comfort and joy in any and every decade, a millennium, when we're Jesus connected. So the question before all this, are we Jesus connected? How are we Jesus connected? Can we strengthen that Jesus connection? Are we living with all the perks, benefits of that Jesus connection? As we look into this text, as we look specifically of one of these people groups, we discover three ways to find comfort and joy even when far from home. Number one, in the busyness of life, be listening for God. Be listening for God. You see, there is comfort and there is joy in God's words. In verse 10, we read, the angel said to them, spoken words, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy. There is comfort and joy in God's words. Being busy is good. Being busy is necessary. And we were reminded God gives us energy to be energetic. But the problem is busy can be not good when it produces the wrong harvest, the bad harvest of God disconnected dark. We can get so busy, we think we're too busy for God. That is too busy. And it calls for things to change. The good news is that God interrupts the darkness with his light. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. He interrupts the darkness suddenly on that night on the hillside in Bethlehem. And the brilliant light of God is both breathtaking and breath-giving. Breathtaking and breath-giving. When those men interacted with heaven, it took their breath away. They were startled. They were amazed. They're probably trying to suck in some oxygen, trying to figure out what's going on and how they factor into this equation. As you work your way through the story and you watch and observe how God works, he not only takes our breath away, which is a beautiful picture of worship, he gives us breath, which is another element of worship. And he reminds us, this is what I need. This is who I need. I need the one who is both breathtaking and breath-giving, the one who is the light in this dark world. The good news of the birth of Christ should lead us to less fear and greater joy. In the busyness of life, we are called to be busy listening for God, so that when he speaks, we do not miss it. And as we listen for God, as we listen to God, we ought to celebrate. Celebrate the wonder of God's voice. I imagine God is really busy running the universe. Really busy doing history. But remember this, he is not so busy to not speak to you. He has sought to speak to every one of us this week. And he will in the coming week. Let's be busy listening to God and celebrating the wonder of God's voice. Verse 10, the angel said, do not be afraid. I've got good news of great joy. And suddenly in verse 13, they heard the chorus, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. In the busyness of life, be busy moving toward Christ. Be busy moving toward Christ. Watch the reaction of the shepherds here to the good news. In verse 16 and verse 15, let us go straight to Bethlehem. And they came in a hurry. The words of the angels echoing in their ears. The angelic worship now becomes their worship. It reminds us that there is comfort and joy in God worship. Hear what the angel said again to these shepherds and what he says to us today. There is born a Savior for you. Burn that into every fiber of your being. A Savior for you. That's personal. It is also purposeful. Born for you, personal, purposeful. Taking us back to verse 14, calling us into that worship that was modeled by the shepherds. In the busyness of life, be busy moving toward Christ. So they got the message, they got the invitation. We see the response. As we think of that for a moment or two, let me ask yourself a question. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Who got left behind to guard the sheep? Maybe I'm the only one that's worried. Very likely somebody got left behind. You were taking a big risk for many of them going. I don't think it's going too far out on a limb that somebody chose to stay behind. How'd they choose? Draw straws? Short guy gets stuck with Fluffy? Maybe they played rock, paper, scissors. Only back then it would have been like rock, papyrus, dagger. Would you want to be chosen to be left behind? That's a good lesson for all of us as we bring ourselves into this story and use a bit of sanctified imagination. If we are left behind today, it is because we chose to stay behind today. If you get left behind now, it's because you've chosen to stay behind now. You see, the announcement is there's a Savior born for you. And in the details of life, you may have got left behind to guard the sheep for a moment. But that moment does not define your life. It doesn't restrict your life. I am where I am with Christ by my choices up to this moment. I will be where I'm at with Christ in the days ahead by my choices as I go into the days ahead. It calls us all to take personal responsibility for where we're at and where we've been in the past. Doesn't mean we have to stay there. But we can go forward. We don't have to stay behind. We are all called to be busy moving toward Christ today. So what are we waiting for? He came for you. He also came for you for him. We were created and called for a purpose, and that is to get to know him better. And as we move toward Christ, we find comfort and joy. And as we move towards Christ, we are called to celebrate Jesus in our life. As you move forward this week with Christ, we're not all that we can be. We're not all that we should be. But if we're moving towards Christ, that's called growth. Celebrate the growth and celebrate that within the growth, we have an active Savior working in our life. And that should bring a spring in our, put a spring in our step, regardless of the circumstances around us. In the busyness of life, be listening for God. In the busyness of life, be moving toward Christ. And third, in the busyness of life, be busy sharing the cure. They came in a hurry. They found Mary and Joseph, verse 16, just as had been told them. When they'd seen this, they made known the statement. They shared what they'd seen with others. Whoever got left behind wasn't left behind without information for long. Verse 20, they went back glorifying and praising God for all they'd seen and heard. No one got left out of the story. No one got left behind of those that they had an opportunity to interact with. In the busyness of life, be sharing the cure. And there is comfort and joy in God's work. There is comfort and joy in God's words. There is comfort and joy in God's worship. There is comfort and joy in working for God. And that's exactly what the shepherds do right out of the chute. Not barely a nanosecond after leaving the nativity moment, and probably while they were still there, they are sharing the good news. I think it's worthwhile to note, the shepherds did not choose the message. Unto us, a child is born. To us, a king is given. To us, a savior has come. They didn't choose the message, and they didn't choose the moment that God spoke that eternal truth into their lives. They didn't choose the moment of their interaction with other people. They didn't choose the atmosphere. They didn't set up the audience. They responded to the open doors that God gave them in obedience, in trust, and in faithfulness. Notice these shepherds were faithful in showing up on time. And showing up on time, right when God called them. They were faithful in getting involved. They were faithful in working together. They were faithful in doing their assignments. These first Christmas sheepers give us 21st century sheep a lesson that is very helpful to revisit. Faithful, 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 faithful. Faithful with the message, faithful in the moments, faithful in the ministry that God opens up for them. Faithful with sharing it with many, faithful in sharing it with one or two. And us, like them, are called to be faithful. Faithful in gathering together. Faithful in growing together. Faithful in going together. As we share the cure, let's celebrate the hope of our neighbor. Let's celebrate what will make a difference in our neighbor's life eternally. As we celebrate the hope of our neighbor, it obviously calls us to share the hope with our neighbor. Our world is not sick. It is dead. And it needs the one who can give life, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that we have to share. And as we share him, we are reminded that what we share, who we share, can break any chain. What we share and who we share can rewrite any family legacies. What we share and who we share was never meant to stay quiet. We don't choose the message. We don't choose the moments. We don't even really choose our ministries. But what we can do is choose to be faithful in every one of those. Be busy listening for God. Be busy moving toward Christ. Be busy sharing the cure. There is comfort and joy in God's words. There's comfort and joy in God worship. And there is comfort and joy in God work. We may not be home today, but we are not without comfort and joy. And as Christians, we find a little comfort and joy in the reminder that we are not home. We are on our way home. And we want to take as many people as we can with us. Christmas is not primarily a place nor presence. It is primarily the peace promise of heaven itself. And key to that peace is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your Christmas present. He is a gift given, but the gift must be received. And today is the opportunity for you to receive that gift. This may be the first time you've come in contact with this truth, with the words of Christ himself. And he calls you to come. Come to him. Admit that we need Christ. That we're not perfect and we need the perfect one. Believe that what Christ did and who Christ is makes all the difference in our life. And accept the gift. Cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I receive the free gift of salvation. Thank you for giving me hope and a mission in life. Some of us need to unwrap, and really all of us need to unwrap the present in a fresh way. Being reminded what life is really all about. The words, the work, the worship of God. So for all of us, here's the question. Will we unwrap the gift today? Is there comfort and joy in God's words? Comfort and joy in God worship. Comfort and joy in God work. Would you join me in singing one of the favorite Christmas carols of all time? Silent night, holy night. And in this moment, in this time, there is the invitation from Christ himself again to you to come to him, unwrap the gift of salvation in a fresh way. Find your comfort and your joy in the Christ of Christmas. Would you stand and let's sing together this precious truth.
Jesus, Lord.